Greetings, everyone. I'm excited to welcome Deepak Srivastava, founder and CEO at Sunrise AI. Deepak, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ben. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. Looking forward to this conversation as a CFO, of course. But first, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes. So, well, given that you're a CFO, it's very near and dear to my heart. By professional training, first portion of my life, I was an investment banker at Morgan Stanley. I did hold a number of CFO type of roles thereafterwards. At Morgan Stanley, I was immersed in the tech sector, focused on subscription-based businesses, actually. And a lot of that early exposure really got me really into SaaS revenue models, right? I found them to be very appealing. I had subsequent experiences at Dropbox, particularly on the enterprise sales front, and that really solidified my appreciation for the SaaS model. My journey sort of continued as an entrepreneur, where I started my own travel tech company, where we were implementing a SaaS model for luxury hotels, providing them with mobile platforms and upsell platforms. And that's laid the groundwork for my current endeavors, Sunrise AI, which is also a SaaS-based model. So that's a little bit about my journey. And I've had a few stints in between where I played CFO at some other companies, but I sort of rerouted back to, I guess now what this is my third stint as an entrepreneur.
Okay. All right. Love that. Yeah. So sorry, investment banker, finance world, and then tech sector focused, which is perfect. And then with the, in a couple stints in between, and the travel tech company, did that just wind down? Did you exit? What happened with that company?
Yes, we did exit. The name of the company was Porter and Sale. Ran that company as a CFO, actually. I was co-founder and CFO and did that for about 6.5, 7 years or so. Started back in 2014, went through COVID. So you can imagine all things travel and tech when the pandemic hit was quite a challenging time. But thankfully, we landed on our feet. It was no glorious exit. I'm not lounging somewhere with a Mai Tai in hand on a beach. But we did end up selling the assets to a company called Luxury Escapes, which is an Australian-based pre-IPO company, also within the hotel sector.
Okay, great. Yeah, appreciate that extra insight there. So yeah, let's talk about your current company, Sunrise AI. So tell us, what products or services does Sunrise offer?
Yeah, so Sunrise AI essentially is an AI-powered credit and due diligence service. The company really emerged from a vision that was incubated at the AI Fund, which is a venture studio based in Palo Alto, where I was a founder in residence. Our core focus is on essentially revolutionizing how credit assessments are done within the fintech space. And where we've initially started is looking at the rental ecosystem as a use case, right? So instead of your typical landlord going through your FICO score and asking for a couple of bank statements, those traditional credit assessments and methodologies are extremely outdated. They often fail to consider modern economic realities like a gig economy where incomes are lumpy or the absence of a traditional credit history or profile. So we leverage AI to essentially develop a much more inclusive and accurate credit assessment, catering to a much broader demographic, and really adapting to the contemporary landscape within fintech overall. So in essence, we do AI-powered credit checks that are replacing a four-decade-old archaic system, which we believe is a very, very bad proxy to determine or ascertain creditworthiness.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So is that first niche, that rental ecosystem, are you targeting other categories or just focused on rentals first?
We have been focused on rentals, but there's been some traction in terms of our messaging, right? We've had a little bit of a social presence. We're early stage. This is all 0 to 1. We just closed our round last quarter. So this is very, very early days for us. But it's been interesting to see how the messaging and the interest in the space and the problem we're tackling has hit. And that's really driven us to engage with folks in the buy now, pay later sector, folks within auto finance, tangential to the rental ecosystem, the mortgage system, student debt. So there's tons and tons of use cases which have been interesting. Right before this call, I was speaking to a company, a very large conglomerate, Fortune 500 company. They have a large business internally that extends employee loans. So So loans to employees to help them with housing or consumer or whatever needs that their employees may have. And this is a tool that they might be considering as part of their processes of assessing credit and how much to loan out. So, you know, credit in general is just a massive industry. So it's exciting to sort of see some of the interest in revamping how we actually assess credit.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So going after the individual credit score and say a landlord signs up, how are you pricing? Is this a subscription? Is this per credit score? Tell us how the pricing works.
Yeah, sure. So quite honestly, this is what we're trying to figure out. You know, there's an appetite on a smaller SMB scale where it's just a spot check, right? So instead of a $35, $40, $45 credit report that a typical landlord would purchase when they're looking to occupy one of their units, you know, we've engaged with folks that have thousands of units, right? Companies that have a portfolio of both single and multifamily residences, and they're looking at literally thousands of units. And there's an interesting part to our solution where we don't necessarily look at credit as a one-time spot check. You know, you can look at credit health and financial health for the life of the lease. So over the course of that lease, we do have an ability to assess someone's financial health and their ability to, say, pay that lease payment. And that can be updated. It's a dynamic way of looking at credit versus that static traditional way. So to answer your question, it can be SaaS-based if it's dynamic month over month. I can charge on that regular cadence versus your traditional way of it. Hey, we're going to do a spot check at the beginning of the lease. And that's where I think things start to get interesting, especially as they align with your traditional subscription-based model.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I know it's early on, you know, a lot of maybe pivots, small pivots in the future, but individual credit, do you ever see this going into then the business side, or is that a completely another animal that requires, you know, different technology, AI, et cetera?
Great question. No, it's actually the same app, right? You have a, And maybe I'm getting a little too historical. My economic history professor from college would probably be proud of me for saying this. But, you know, there's something good to be said about how corporations and businesses in the U.S., like from a tax perspective, for example, they're seen as individuals, right? In much the same way, just as an individual has a bank account and we can look at their historical financial transaction history to feed into our model to understand and assess their creditworthiness. It's the same for a business. A business also has credit cards and bills and a bank account, checking and savings and an investment account. And they have all the same variables that would go into a model, and that allows us or enables us to still assess credit for businesses. So we have come across one use case that we're exploring very heavily, which is assessing vendor risk on the SMB level. So we have a potential customer that works with a number of different vendors in the space that they operate in. And they want to know, are these folks going to be in business? Are they going to pay their bills, right? So it's interesting to see where the use cases can fall. But again, to answer your question, I don't necessarily, numbers in or numbers out, right? It doesn't matter if they're coming from an individual or a business. There's still a way to do that fundamental credit analysis.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've definitely talked to some founders who are targeting that vendor risk space, which I think is becoming a bigger and bigger category. And I know as a CFO, prospective customers, you know, assessing our vendor risk. And it's like, hey, you need this credit score from this company. And it was such a pain. And it's good. I can't remember the name of the company, a big name, but right? It was just, it was just, it was hard, really hard, you know? So I think, yeah, some disruption there is needed. Well, appreciate that background of the company, what you guys are doing. So what year did you found Sunrise?
Last year.
Okay. So 2023. And yeah, so it's just early stages. And do you guys have a headquarters or are you all virtual?
We are all virtual. I'm a born and raised New Yorker, so I'm partial to New York. I recently just moved from LA back to New York, but we are virtual first, a fully remote team. My co-founder is in the Denver area. We have some engineers in Detroit, Dallas, other product folks in the Bay Area. So we're pretty much spread around.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I'm also in Denver. So yes, I need more tech here. But so tell us, what's your current team size?
About 5.5 FTEs.
That's precise. I love that. 5.5 FTEs. And even Damien, well, yeah, you have a finance background. So yeah, you're going with FTEs. Love it. And early stages, so are you generating revenue or are you pre-revenue right now?
You are pre-revenue right now.
Okay, pre-revenue. Okay. And tell us right now a little bit about your go-to-market motion, right? Early stages, how are you finding prospects right now to talk to?
Yeah, I would say there's two different ways, right? One is, you know, we started within the landlord rental space, and a lot of it is word of mouth. You know, it's been interesting where we're seeing our product really generate interest is in this interesting place where it's not necessarily ultra enterprise, right? I would love to take on a customer that has, you know, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 units, but that's a long sales cycle, right? Quite frankly. But where we're seeing the opportunity is there's a lot of prop tech out there, even outside of just the credit space or tenant screening space. But like, though that prop tech has really almost singularly been built for those larger enterprises. And there's a wide space where mid-market landlords or property owners, let's call it folks that own between 100 to a couple thousand and change units, that's where they don't necessarily want to purchase. And it's not cost effective for them to buy those enterprise level prop tech solutions. But they still need something in terms of automation, workflow, AI, like everyone's talking about. We're in a hot space here, the wind's at our backs. And we're seeing some traction there. But what we're also doing is a lot of outbound in terms of exploring where else can our product fit. You know, for example, as part of the credit analyses that we do and the credit scoring that we do, there's a embedded or intrinsic component to understand, you know, someone's ID and validate their ID, to look at their and look and verify their income, right? To understand what assets they have. So, you know, we were speaking to a nascent crypto exchange that wants to take on US customers, and lots of a big magnifying glass on the space for obvious reasons, right? But they want to beef up their ID verification processes. That's something that we already do. We can do that. So it's been interesting to explore use cases from the same product, because I see them as all customers. We don't need to pigeonhole ourselves into one specific space if people are coming to us asking for these types of services. So that's been also interesting and exciting in terms of exploring GTM, the outbound word of mouth that seems to be working a little bit, but at the same time, really being open to other opportunities and other types of customers that we should be exploring.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Especially these adjacent spaces, you know, I'm amazed every time, like maybe, I don't know if it's Stripe or like, hey, a quick identity check to verify something on your account, hold up your phone, they take a picture, you answer some questions, boom, done. You know, at first you're worried, but it's like, wow, that was super simple.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's such a different process and workflow for ID verification than it was even 5-10 years ago, for sure.
Yeah, love that. So let's talk about the fundraising front. You raised a pre-seed round. I don't think the amount was disclosed. Did you disclose how much?
We did not disclose how much, but we had one investor come in, and that's the AI fund, the fund that incubated us.
Okay. And you know, for other founders listening, is there a reason you're not disclosing, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm happy to disclose with folks that want to invest and want to dig into our books. You know, obviously, I think we lead with transparency, especially with AI in our product. A lot of the driver for us developing the product is to make sure that this process, credit worthiness, credit assessment, is open and transparent. But, you know, I think, and you'd appreciate this as a CFO, I wouldn't want folks to back into how much runway we have, what our burn is. A lot of that private information, I think it's well worth our time to make sure that we remain private. There's a reason why we're a private company, but we're happy to build in public, right? But yeah, that's some of the reasons why I think, you know, happy to share for the years that need to know that info.
Okay. Yeah. No, I appreciate that insight. And then probably a lot of founders in your situation, you know, founded about a year ago, kind of early stages, right? You know, just raised some capital. So tell us about the journey from founding to that pre-seed. And was there a trigger? Was there something that prompted that pre-seed raise?
Yes, great question. So I should clarify that because we were incubated and I was a founder in residence at a fund, that did not necessarily guarantee like we're going to be funded and we're going to get lock up some capital, right? There needed to be a viable product, essentially. And the trigger and milestone for us was essentially, all right, we built this AI model. Does it work? Can it predict someone's propensity to repay back debt? And once we were able to validate that and prove out a case study, and I can go into some specifics as to how we did that, that was a trigger. That's like, all right, the tech works. Great. Mm-hmm. That gives us enough ammo to go and get some dry powder in the form of capital, and let's go figure out go to market.
Okay, I appreciate it. So you said, you know, we got to make sure it works. Let's validate that, case studies, and then, okay, we can show that proof to potential investors to get that pre-seed.
Yeah. And I'm happy to sort of, what I mean by case studies is fairly simple, right? It's we were able to acquire 3 years worth of anonymized data in terms of people's household budgets and what their spend was and how much they're spending on rent and whether they paid rent or not, when they paid rent. Did they pay it in full? Did they pay it on time? We took 3 years worth of that data, built the model, trained the model on year one and year two, and then asked the model to predict the outcome of them paying rent in year three and compare that to the actuals. And that's where we saw a 96% hit in terms of our model accurately predicting whether rent was paid on time and in full or not. 96%, I would say, arguably anyone can say, all right, the model works. Of course, there needs to be more work in terms of refinement, et cetera, but we're really focused on going out and having this product out there live and in the wild to prove it out even further.
I love that because you've got a product, it sounds like, where you can just fire it up. All right, let's get it going. Let's pump a lot of data in there and then see what happens. So that makes a lot of sense. And with that pre-seed round and maybe, you know, founders listening who are thinking, hey, I'm founding a product, you know, kind of building out my product, thinking about maybe, you know, early capital, any lessons learned that you'd like to share from your process?
Yes. You know, I think there's two specific things that I would keep in mind, right? Timing, one, and then storytelling, number two, right? Timing, meaning, you know, I've always subscribed to the philosophy of raising funds before you need to raise funds. It's like, it's kind of antithetical in thinking, right? Like you raise funds when you don't need them. Like, why would you do that, right? You raise funds when you need them. But I think the issue comes down to leverage. You don't want to be on the clock, right? In terms of your runway ending, where then you're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place in terms of depending on outside capital, right? That's number one. Number two, storytelling. If I'd gone to Markins and just said, hey, I have a better FICO, that's much less compelling than aligning with the product that we have with our intent and what's driving. So what makes me get up and want to work all day, right? And this is where I go back to like mission, vision, and values. And if you're going out there and fundraising, you don't want to just take a check from anybody, right? I think it's really important to make sure anyone you're speaking to, any prospective investor, they're also subscribing to your mission, vision, and values, right? And, you know, for us, you know, our mission at Sunrise AI is to provide fair and accurate credit insights. We do that through AI, right? But we want to break free from traditional, often biased credit scoring methods, right? So our vision is centered around innovation, transparency, cutting edge tech, right? Ensuring comprehensive and up-to-date creditworthiness assessments, right? And our values are rooted in all that we want to do it ethically, we want to do it responsibly, and it's a commitment to inclusivity. Lots of populations, whether they're underserved communities or immigrant communities, they're credit thin or credit invisible. That doesn't mean they're not credit worthy, but the system that we have today does deem them credit unworthy. So selling someone on that vision, I think, is super important. And the way we're doing it, it's this product, it's this tool. And yes, of course, I want to replace FICO, but it's really important to be able to tell that story and have those stakeholders go along for your, whoever's coming along for your ride, like they really need to be bought into it and subscribe to it in a genuine and authentic way.
Yeah, I love it. I'm on board. Let's go. So at this, Deepak, at this stage of your business, do you have a favorite number or metric that you're focused on to guide the business at the current stage?
Yes, I won't share specific numbers, but there are metrics. Yeah. There's two specific. One is just number of brands, right? So one of the things I learned in a previous SaaS sales role that I had at Dropbox in its early days was, look, we're not necessarily putting a revenue target out of the gates, right? We need to know, is there receptivity in the market for our product at an enterprise level, right? At that time in Dropbox's history, you know, the company was selling $99 annual subscriptions to moms and pops, folks like you and me. The game changer was, can you convince large companies to adopt cloud storage en masse? And instead of worrying about we need this many dollars, we wanted validation from marquee brands, right? Some of the biggest deals that were brought in were folks like NBCU or Spotify, right? Or News Corporation, these large companies, household names. And I think that's where I want to get to. I want to get a few wins on the scoreboard where there's names that will lend credibility to the solution that we're putting out there. The second metric is, honestly, it goes back to like being able to not rely on outside capital and being the master of your own destiny. I want to get to a place where I can not burn cash, full stop, get to a place where I'm cash flow positive. Perhaps this is my finance DNA kicking in, but the quicker I can get there, the more flexibility and autonomy I have, right? I'm not on the clock where, oh, I'm going to need to raise by X date and I need to raise this many dollars to survive this much longer. No, if I'm cash flow positive, my runway is indefinite at that point. And I think that's the first goal, right? So being default alive, I believe is the term that's in vogue right now, but yes.
Yeah, no, I love that because when you have that long cash runway or infinite cash runway, it's just, you have that time. I kind of get the luxury of time where it's just not a fire drill to fix things and can methodically work on the business. So love that. So Deepak, you'll really appreciate your time today and sharing your insights. So what's coming up next this year for Sunrise?
Like I mentioned, we're hardcore going after big brands. I want to make sure that our product is out there and working and prove at the end of the day, there's no substitute, no replacement for a product that works 10x better than other products. I know our product works 10x better than the FICOs or the Experience of the TransUnions of the world. So I'm just excited to scream from the rooftops, shout it out, and get this product in people's hands more and more and more.
Okay, I love that. Well, really appreciate your time today, Deepak, and sharing your experiences. If listeners would like to learn more, where should we send them online?
Oh, the website, www.sunrise.ai. And I'm always happy to connect with folks on LinkedIn or directly by email, deepak@sunrise.ai.
All right. Well, perfect. Well, check out sunrise.ai or email deepak@sunrise.ai. And Deepak, really appreciate your time and sharing your experiences.
My pleasure, Ben. Thank you so much for having me again.